In your life, has anyone ever judged you? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Today we want to look at the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. Because maybe you're caught in the very same sin. Maybe it's greed or theft or extreme selfishness that has destroyed your family. Or maybe it's drug addiction. It's something that has caused you to feel so horrible, so terrible, so condemned. And you feel so distant from God, and you think, you know, there's just no way because of what I've done. And that's the way a lot of people live. Just under a big, heavy cloud and coat of guilt and shame and condemnation. Listen, if that is you today, God has a special message from His Word because the Lord wants to blow you away with His grace, His love, His compassion, and His life-changing power.
Scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and thank you for joining us today as he continues with a revealing lesson from his series, Cross-Examination, Questions from the King. It's five messages that investigate five big questions that Jesus Himself asked specific people during His ministry. These are important questions and even more important answers that apply to you today. Today's question has, at its setting, a very tense moment described in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, when the religious leaders of the day brought a sinful woman to the foot of the Savior, demanding that Jesus take action against her. But Jesus was far too full of grace to allow that to happen, and He has the same grace for you. The message today is entitled, Did No One Condemn You? Now, we'll air part one of this today, part two tomorrow. And if you miss either, you can listen again online once they've aired at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. Now, though, open your Bible to the 8th chapter of the book of John. Here is Pastor Jeff Shreve with a question from the King to you and me. Did no one condemn you?
Now, we're in a series called Cross-Examination. Questions from the King. We're looking at questions that Jesus asked people. And today we want to look at the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. She was taken before the people into the temple. She was ashamed and humiliated. They were condemning her, wanting to stone her to death. And Jesus intervened, and she was amazed and surprised and blown away at what He did for her. How He had grace and compassion and love for her. It was such a wonderful surprise. Now, as I've been studying this story, I've been thinking about the people who are listening on radio, how many of them can relate to the woman caught in adultery, because maybe you're caught in the very same sin. Or maybe for you it's a sin that's just as shameful. Maybe it's greed or theft or extreme selfishness that has destroyed your family. Or maybe it's drug addiction. It's something that has caused you to feel so horrible, so terrible, so condemned. And you feel so distant from God. And you think, you know, there's just no way because of what I've done. And you kind of go through life like Hester Prynne in the book, The Scarlet Letter. You remember, she committed adultery, and they made her wear a big scarlet A on her dress so that everyone that she came in contact with would know she's an adulteress. She's wretched. She's filthy. She's damaged goods. And that's the way a lot of people live. Just under a big, heavy cloud and coat of guilt and shame and condemnation. Listen, if that is you today, you're in the right place. And God has a special message from His Word because the Lord wants to blow you away with His grace, His love, His compassion, and His life-changing power. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8 as we study this story. John chapter 8 and verse 1, the Scripture says, But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to Him, and He sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone and the woman where she had been in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" That's our question. And she said, "No, Lord, no one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." What an awesome story. What a tremendous surprise ending to this story, this true account in the Gospel of John. Now, as we study today this passage, I want us to think in terms of this question. What does God want to teach us about condemnation? Those people were condemning her, but Jesus did not condemn her. What does God want to teach us about condemnation? That word in the Greek, to condemn, is katakrino. It means to judge against, to sentence, to damn. So what is there to learn? Three truths. Truth number one, religious people love to condemn others. They love to do that. Now, here's the story. Jesus is teaching, and he's in the temple, and all the people are coming to him. Wherever Jesus was teaching out in public, they'd come from everywhere to hear him. The Bible says that they hung on his every word. He had to shoo them away at night. They didn't want to leave. They were never looking at their watches saying, "When is this preacher going to stop?" They'd say, "Please, Lord, more, more, more." And so he was teaching, and there was a big crowd in the temple listening to him. And then all of a sudden, he's interrupted. And the scribes and the Pharisees come in, the religious leaders. They come in, and they're dragging this woman. And she's scared to death, and she's crying, and she's trying to cover her face. And they throw her in the midst of where Jesus was teaching. And they tell Jesus, "This woman was caught in adultery. She was caught in the very act of adultery." Now, what she did was wrong. What she did was evil. What she did was shameful. But she was caught in the very act of adultery. It's pretty difficult to catch someone in the very act of adultery. What are the scribes and Pharisees doing hanging around to try and catch someone in the act of adultery? Good question. And if they caught her in the very act of adultery, the man would have been there too. Where is the man in this story? Why didn't they bring both the woman and the man who were committing adultery? I believe that this was a setup. I believe that the scribes and the Pharisees had this set up to catch this woman in adultery so they could pull her from the embrace of the man. The man was involved in the plot, in the setup, so that they could take this woman to Jesus. Why? So that they could accuse Jesus. The scripture says that they wanted to find grounds for accusing him. They hated Jesus. And they wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to put Jesus on the horns of a dilemma. See, what do you say? This is what Moses said. What do you say? Now, if Jesus said, "Stone her," well, how would that have gone over with the crowd? Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was going to those people. He said, "It's not those who are well that need a physician, it's the sick." And he was ministering to them, and he was showing grace and kindness and love and compassion to them. Now, if he said, "Stone her," well, that would just freak out the people. They would say, "Well, I don't understand. This is totally different than what you've been teaching." So he couldn't say that on one hand, but if he said, "Don't stone her," he would be going against Moses. Now, you can't go against Moses and be a teacher in accordance with the Old Testament, in accordance with the law. And so they just knew they had Jesus. If he said, "Yes, stone her," he's in trouble. If he said, "No, don't stone her," he's in bigger trouble. They were looking for grounds that they might accuse him. See, they didn't really care about the woman. They didn't give a rip about the woman. All they cared about was trapping Jesus. Why did they want to trap Jesus so bad? Because they hated him. They hated him. Now, write this down. Religious people hate true spirituality. They really do. Now, sometimes we get confused and we say, well, we're supposed to be religious. Religious, like the Pharisees were religious, we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be anything like that. And so when I'm talking about religious versus spiritual, it's being a Pharisee versus being a true follower and worshiper and someone who walks with God. But they love to condemn and they hate anything that's truly spiritual. You know why? Because a Pharisee, a religious person, everything is external to them. Religion is just another thing that you do. And it's something they build their lives around. See, religious people love a system. They love rules because rules make it easy to keep score. And it's all external. It's all outward. That's the way the Pharisees were. You know what Jesus said about those guys? He said, you guys strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Hebrew humor is humor by exaggeration. When Jesus said that, that was funny. The disciples had to laugh. That's a good one. You know, strain out. Who strains out a gnat? I mean, you're just trying to get that little piece out. Then you swallow a whole camel. Let me give you an example of how they would strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. They arrested Jesus. They bring false charges against Jesus. And they're frustrated in their arrest of Jesus because they can't find the charges are lies. So they contradict one another and they're just so frustrated. And finally, they just say, tell us, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the Holy One? And Jesus said, yes, I am. And they said, we don't need any more testimony. You have heard the blasphemy yourself. And then they beat Jesus. And then they take Jesus to Pilate. And the scripture says in John that when they went to Pilate's, they would not go into his residence, into the praetorium, because he was a Gentile. And if they did that, they would defile themselves. And then they couldn't eat the Passover. Hey, sentencing the Son of God to death, that's swallowing a camel. Not wanting to walk into Pilate's house because you'll defile yourself, that's straining out a gnat. That's what they would do. And there's all these little rules. Jesus said, you guys tithe mint and dill and cumin. You count out the parsley in your garden and every tenth sprig you give to the Lord. He said, yet you reject the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. And you're just all twisted and everything is external and everything is outward. He said, you're whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you're dead.
Pastor Jeff returns in a moment to contrast this emptiness with true spirituality. Stay with us. If you haven't noticed, there are many religious teachers today who are also a facade. They are not genuine. Did you know that the increasing number of fakes in the church is also a sign of the last days? In the book of Jude, we're warned that false teachers with their false teaching will try to secretly infiltrate and poison the church. But Christians are called to stand up for the truth and fight for the faith. Here's the problem. So many people don't know what they believe or why. They don't understand who God really is and who they are, why they were created, and how to live a life for God. Pastor Jeff can help right that sinking ship with his series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. There are 6 lessons that will allow you to see the truth and not fall for the lies that are out there. And it's also our gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. To get the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive, go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and request it. And when you do make that gift, you'll be helping us share real truth, love, and hope to a deceived world. So, thanks for your generosity today. Now let's get back to today's message entitled, Did No One Condemn You? Here's Pastor Jeff.
Now what's true Christianity, true spirituality? It's not outward, it's inward. The Lord wants you to love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. Jesus said, clean the inside of the cup. And then let that spill over to the outside. He wants your life to be different outwardly, but it's not that you grit your teeth and try harder and clean yourself up on the outside. That's religion. And the Lord doesn't want that. He wants you to be clean on the inside. He wants you to let him come in and work himself out and change your life. But religious people don't want to do that. Religious people are so proud and they're so self-righteous and they hate it when they're around someone who's truly spiritual. That's why they hated Jesus, because Jesus showed them up for who they really were, a bunch of fakes and phonies and hypocrites. He started showing people what was really in their hearts, rottenness and wretchedness and evil. Jesus said in John 8, verse 40, "But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God." So they were planning this thing, and they were using this woman because they wanted to get at Jesus, because they wanted to silence Jesus and discredit Jesus and destroy Jesus. And they used this woman as bait. She was bait on a hook. That's what they felt about her. See, not only do religious people hate true spirituality, but religious people have no true compassion. None. Zero. Inside the heart of the Pharisees and the scribes, the milk of human kindness had curdled. And they had no compassion. The word compassion means to suffer with, to feel for someone else. And they didn't feel anything. They didn't give a rip about this lady. Here she is, scared and crying and covered in shame and covered with her own sin. And they set her up to fall into that sin. It was all orchestrated to get at Jesus. She's just bait on the hook. They just as soon stone her as they would look at her. She was of no more use to them than used Kleenex. That's what they thought about her. Just throw her away. She's just a woman. She's an adulteress. Just kill her. No true compassion. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, he said to the Pharisees and scribes and religious leaders, "Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice." James 2:13, the scripture says, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. The Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and religious leaders, they didn't ever show mercy to people. They were just rigid. Everything was the letter of the law. If you didn't match up to the letter of the law, bam. But now if they did something wrong, boy, they wanted you to show them all sorts of mercy. But scripture says, hey, judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Religious people, they love to condemn. Hey, as I was going through this and thinking in my own heart, you know where the religious folks hang out? They don't hang out at Fat Jack's. They hang out here at this church and at other churches, churches all over. Where do you find the Pharisees? You don't find them in the bars and in the nightclubs. You find them in church. Religious people are some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. You don't believe that? Read in the Gospels. The religious crowd said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why? Pilate says, "What evil has he done? Who cares what evil has he done? Crucify him, we hate him. And we want to kill him." That's a religious crowd that did that. So you and I have to be careful in church that you don't become a Pharisee. That you don't become so rules oriented. That you don't lose your compassion for people. That you don't look down your long nose at someone because they have fallen in a ditch of drugs and they can't get out. It's difficult to look at people with compassion sometimes, but we're not to judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. That doesn't mean that you can't say, hey, some things are right and some things are wrong. The Bible is clear on that. Some things are right and some things are wrong. But do you look down at people who have fallen? Religious people, they love to condemn others. Truth number two, everyone is deserving of condemnation. Now, this is something that will help you if you're struggling with being a self-righteous, pious, religious person. Hey, you know what? You're deserving of stoning. It's not just the woman caught in adultery. It's you. Verse 6 says, "And they were saying this to him." Lord, what do you say? They were saying this to him, testing him in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. Wrote on the ground. That's interesting, isn't it? He just stoops down and he starts to write. Now, there have been lots of people who have conjectured what Jesus wrote on the ground. Some say he's just doodling on the ground. Some say he was writing there the sins of the accusers in the dirt there on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. Nobody really knows for sure what he wrote. Here's the significance of that. He wrote with his finger on the ground. They were trying to pin Jesus on the horns of a dilemma, and it related to the law. The law was written by the finger of God on tablets of stone. Jesus stoops down and he writes with his finger, the finger of God, on the ground. I think he's saying, you guys don't even know who you're dealing with here. I wrote the law with my finger. And you're trying to trap me in what I wrote. I am Almighty God. And he stooped down and wrote with his finger in the ground. And as he's writing in the ground, whatever he wrote, they're pressing on him and pressuring him. And the scripture says they persisted. See, they thought, man, we got him. He is stuck. And they said, tell us, come on, quit writing on the ground. You tell us, what are we supposed to do? Moses says we're supposed to stone her. What do you say? They thought they were forcing his hand. They thought they had him. Verse 7, it says, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Hey, you can stone her. That's what Moses said to do. Go ahead and stone her. Ah, but before you do, you check your own heart. You check to see if you might be guilty of sin. Maybe you're guilty of the same sin she's guilty of. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Who in this room is not guilty of adultery based on that definition? Go ahead and throw stones if your heart is without sin. There's an old saying that says people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And all of us live in a glass house. See, no one is without sin. No one. Not you, not me, not Billy Graham. No one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Scripture says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. Not even one. No one. Bible says in Psalm 130, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? I couldn't. If God kept track of iniquities and kept them on my ledger, and then I'm supposed to stand before God and say, God, I'm good enough to get to your heaven, there's no way. If God marked iniquity like that and held those iniquities against us, and we had to try and work those off, you could never work them off. You could never stand before God. That same verse in Psalm 130 says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. No one is without sin. And as Jesus said that, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone, got quiet. They weren't expecting that answer. That was a surprise answer. And all of a sudden you started to hear. As they dropped their stones. You heard the thuds of the stones, and they began to file out of the temple, the older ones first, and then the younger ones. The older ones were more aware of their sinfulness. They had lived longer, and they were aware that they weren't without sin. See, Jesus was trying to teach that no one's without sin, and all of us deserve the judgment of God. Everybody.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And listen, today you heard part one of the message called Did No One Condemn You? It's from his five-message series, Cross-Examination, Questions from the King, that outline five questions that Jesus asks of people. And the answers are sure to help you as you wrestle with your own questions about your purpose in life and His power to transform you. This series is available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or as a USB flash drive. When you go to fromhisheart.org. Thanks again for being here, and we'll see you Monday when Pastor Jeff opens up God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.